in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Your faithfulness. Father, we are more than grateful. You've been so good. You've been so gracious to us. You've been faithful, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We can't thank you enough. The whole of eternity is too short to thank and to praise you. For your goodness, for your graciousness, for your grace, your faithfulness. As individuals, as families, and as a ministry, as a house, AGM, I have come to say thank you. Father, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You might be seated briefly. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Can you take care of this humming sound? Hello, technical. Take care of this humming sound. Praise God. Psalm 69 verse 30. Psalm 69 verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with what? With thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Is it the psalmist David? He understood the power of thanksgiving. He understood the power of praising God. Hallelujah. That was why David said, I will praise the name of the Lord with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Next verse. He said, this also shall please the Lord. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that had horns or hoofs. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Psalm 107 verse 1. Psalm 107 verse 1 is our end of year mega thanksgiving service. So many things to thank God for. Hallelujah. We have everything to thank God for. We are not unmindful of the mighty acts of God. Psalm 107 verse 1, he said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. God is a good God. You know, this is our month of God's goodness. And he says, he crowns the year with his goodness, and his path drips with abundance. Hallelujah. He said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth for how long? Forever. That word mercy also means loving kindness. That word mercy also means unfailing love. It's a covenant word. And And God said, my covenant will I not break. Am I communicating? Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Look up, look up. You will not be able to thank God well, neither will you be able to praise him well, until you have a revelation of who he is. It is the revelation of who God is that sponsors thanksgiving and praise. Am I communicating? When you have an understanding and a revelation of God's person, of his nature, of his character, the Bible says in Psalm 119 verse 68, it says, for thou art good and thou doest good. God is a good God. You see, goodness is in his character. It is a part and parcel of his nature. All that he does is good. Am I communicating? Even when God executes judgment upon the wicked, it is also an act of his goodness. God's righteous judgment are still part of his goodness. If he is not good, he will allow wickedness to go unchecked. If you are a judge and you allow wickedness to go unpunished, are you a good judge? That's why if you read Psalm 136, that whole verse, there is a phrase that usually ends every statement. It says, for he is good and his mercy endureth for... Let's take a look at it. Psalm 136 from verse 1. Watch this. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his what? His mercy endureth for how long? Next verse. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. So he's the God of Shango, he's the God of Orumila, he's the God of Amadioa, he's the God of all gods, Zeus, Poseidon, Artemis. Am I communicating? He's the God of all gods. Kaliboko Sabalatia. For he is good and his mercy endureth forever. Next verse. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Next verse. To who alone that doeth great wonders? If I read the first part, you will help me read the second part. Can we go ahead and do this little exercise? 1, 2, 3, go. To him that by wisdom made the heavens. Next. To him that stretch out the earth above the waters. To him that made great lights, his mercy endureth forever. To the sun to rule by day. The moon and stars to rule by night. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn. Next verse. And brought out Israel from among them. 12, with a strong hand and with a stretch out arm, for his mercies endureth forever. 13, to him which divided the Red Sea into parts and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To him which led his people through the wilderness. To him which smote great kings. Let's stop here. You see that every act of God was attributed to what? His mercy that endured forever. And that word mercy, the Hebrew word is chesed. Chesed means loving kindness. In other part of the Old Testament, that word mercy is translated as loving kindness. It's also translated as unfailing love. His love does not fail. I say God's love does not fail. Human love can fail. People, have you been served breakfast before? Have people disappointed you before?
People that say they love you, in times of crisis, they turn their back on you. Like you call them, they don't pick. You remember those Job, the richest man in the Bible said, by the time Satan struck, the guy was reduced to zero, lost all his wealth, all his friends ran away. Then later, when they heard that God had visited him and God had what? Restored double. The Bible said the friends, all those fair weather friends, they came back. They said, "Though, sorry, oh Job, we heard what happened. Where were they?" Are you seeing human beings? But God is not a man. God is not like human beings. Human love may fail, but the love of God does not fail. They are all acts of his mercy. Even his throne is called the throne of grace. The seat that God sits on is called mercy seat. See, the seat that God sits upon as the righteous judge of the whole earth to administer justice and righteousness, that seat is called mercy seat. No wonder the Bible says it is mercy that triumphs over judgment. Because of the blood of Jesus on that mercy seat. Am I communicating? One of the things that the blood of Jesus speak, you know, is a speaking blood. He said, "You've come to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel." The blood of Abel was crying out for vengeance. When Cain slew his brother, blood has a voice. The blood of Abel was crying out for vengeance. But the Bible said the blood of Jesus speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. The blood of Jesus, among the things he speaks, is what? Mercy. 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 Am I communicating? As long as you are a human being in the flesh, you will need the mercy of God. And listen, when we say the mercy of God, it's not only when people have done wrong that they need mercy. You need to understand the mercy of God. The mercy of God is beyond solution to wrongdoing. It's beyond forgiveness for wrongdoing. Am I communicating? Like I was trying to explain, it means the loving kindness of God. His marvelous kindness is an act of his mercy. His favor, see, that word kesed, translated mercy in the Old Testament. The best word to describe it in the New Testament is called grace, charis. That's the best word, the closest to that word kesed, translated as mercy in the Old Testament. Is the same thing as what? Grace. Somebody say grace. Everything God does is an act of his grace. Hallelujah. God have been more than good to us. You see, David the psalmist had a revelation of the goodness of God, and he knew how to give God thanks for every act of God. Hallelujah. When you understand this, you will never take for granted again anything God does for you. Don't say it is small. Anything God does is not small. Be on the lookout. Lay it to heart to intentionally thank and appreciate God, even for the least, in quote, human beings may think it is a small thing. Even for the apparently minutest act of God's goodness, recognize it, acknowledge it, and give him thanks for it. Hallelujah. Give him thanks for it. Glory to God. The ratio, I wrote this down. Just a few things to note. The ratio of your daily praise to prayers should be 7 is to ratio 1. Don't forget this ratio. We are doing mathematics here. I said the ratio of praise to prayer should be what? 7 is to ratio 1. Give me Psalm 55 verse 17. And guess what? It was the psalmist that gave us this revelation. Watch this. David said, "Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Question, according to the psalmist, how many times should you pray minimum a day? 3, right? evening, morning, and at noon. David the psalmist, he prayed 3 times a day. Now give me Psalm 119 verse 164. So how many times did he pray? 3 times. Let's find out praise and thanksgiving. Psalm 119 verse 164. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. You now see where I got my ratio from. So the ratio of your prayer to your praise should be what? 7:3. No, sorry, 3:7. So if you are praying 3 times, you should praise more than double of the times you pray. 3 times 3 is what? 6. 7, is it not greater than 6? Sorry, 3 plus 3. Thank you, sir. We have mathematicians in the house. Praise God. 3 plus 3 is 6, right? Which is still less than that 7. So the ratio of your prayer to praise should be 3:7. In other words, for every time you pray, you should praise God more than times 2. Are you getting my point? This is very important. Pastor E. Adeboye, you all know him, is a man of prayer and fasting. But I was listening to him one day and I realized one major secret of that man is thanksgiving. That mighty man of God. He spends most of his time in prayer, thanking God, doing what we call the prayer of thanksgiving. He will thank God before programs and meetings. After the mighty program with all the mighty miracles and all the things God did, he will go and count. In fact, he will even thank God after the program more than the way he prayed before the program. You know, we human beings, we have this weakness. We can pray, we can fast, we can cry, we can shout, oh God, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. By the time God finally does it, even 1 minute thanksgiving, some people don't do. Just to thank God for the answer, they don't even remember to thank God. Those that remember, 5 minutes is even too long. I will soon show you from the Bible that the voice of thanksgiving should be louder than even the voice of supplication. It's in the Bible. Am I communicating? When you pray for anything, when God finally does it, you should even spend more time, more intensity, more energy thanking God for the answer after he has done it than even the way you prayed for him to do it. Are you getting the point? Very, very important. Look at the story of the 10 lepers. Luke 17, verse 11. Look at something very interesting and very instructive there. It says, it came to pass as Jesus went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Okay? It was lepers' village. And he entered into a certain village where lepers reside. They were like separated from the normal people. Because those days, according to the law of Moses, once you have leprosy, you are unclean. And if you touch other people, they become unclean too. So they needed to separate. So they were like outcasts. Am I communicating? They were like outcasts, social outcasts. They separate them. So Jesus was passing through that leper's village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Did you notice they didn't even come close? Because they know that they are not supposed to come close to human beings. Or else the person becomes unclean when they touch them. They stood from afar and shouted. Look at what they said. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. God heals because of his mercy. Next verse. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourself unto the priest. It came to pass, as they went, they obeyed that instruction, they were cleansed. So they got healed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. With a loud voice. Whosoever offered praise glorifies me. With a loud voice, he glorified God. The voice with which he glorified God through thanksgiving and praise was louder than when he was asking for God's mercy for healing. Did you notice that? Did you notice that? With a loud voice, he glorified God. Only one out of what? 10. Next verse. And fell down on his face. You see, even thanksgiving has a posture. You thank God with your words. You thank God with your actions. Look at the action here. Am I communicating? That shows gratitude. Giving him thanks, he was a Samaritan. And you know, Samaritans were like half Jews, half, you know, they see them like what do they call this? Half caste. Let me put it like that. And also, they are seen as outcast too. The proper Jew, the real Jew, sees a Samaritan as an outcast. You know the way in some Igbo culture, what do they call those outcast? Esu, is it Esu? Osu, good, Osu. That was how the Jews saw the Samaritans. But did you notice that is that same Samaritan among all of them that came back to give God thanks? Look at what Jesus said. Next verse. And Jesus answered, said, were there not 10 cleansed? In other words, 10 people got healed. Were there not 10? He said, where are the 9? Oh, hold it here. Let me show you something about God's attitude here. God expects you to come back and give him thanks for everything he does for you. Look at it there. Jesus was asking, where are the remaining 9? Where have they gone? Did you notice? Jesus expected all of them to come and return all the glory, all the praise for that miracle. We owe God a debt of thanksgiving. I say we owe God a debt of thanksgiving for his goodness, for his grace, for his faithfulness, for everything he does for us. We owe God a debt of thanksgiving. Some of you, you slept yesterday, you woke up today. Just go on Google. Just Google how many people died within the last 24 hours. You'll be surprised the number you will see there. They are there in their thousands. Am I communicating? We take too many things for granted. Look, you are breathing. You don't even know you are breathing. Unconsciously. There are people in Jute. They are on oxygen. Plateau Hospital. Ola Hospital. Maybe one of these days I will take you around so that you will learn to appreciate God. For even this air you breathe, some of you, your nose is big, self. Consuming excess oxygen. And you have never thanked God for it. Am I communicating? You slept like a log of wood. All those arrows they fired you from the village, angels blocked them, Odeshi. You don't know the things that happened in the night. And you woke up. Did you thank God for the gift of life? Am I communicating? The only one your mind keep telling you is all those things God have not done. And you agreed with your mind. Therefore, you became ungrateful. Started complaining, grumbling, murmuring. Have you seen a dead person complaining before? Let me tell you something. At every point in time in your life, the things God have done are usually more than the one you think he has not done. If you can think deep and thoughtfully take stock of the blessings of God, a songwriter said, count your blessings, name them one by one. Am I communicating? You have legs, you are complaining. God, why have you not given me car? There are people that have cars, they don't have leg. Am I communicating? Which one will you rather have? Okay. Oh yeah. Which one? Choose one, car or leg. You understand? You are angry that God has not given you a car. Let me tell you something. The things God have done, they usually outweigh and outnumber the one you think he has not done. So there is always every reason to be grateful. There is always something to thank God for. Every day. There is always something to thank God for. Even if you claim God have not done anything for you from January till date. In fact, you lie yourself. Because the fact that you can even say it with your mouth, you have betrayed yourself. Because the mouth you use to say it, is that one not working? And you are even alive to report that God have not done something for you. Are you not betraying yourself? You are alive. The gift of life. Is there anything more important than life? Can a dead person complain of house rent? Money for house rent? That God has not given him money for house rent? Can a dead person complain that God have not healed him? Can a dead person the Bible says, unto him that is joined to the land of the living, there is hope. A living dog is better than a dead lion. All your complaint, murmuring, grumbling, they are invalid compared to the gift of life that God has given you. Am I communicating? Shagabalakataya. And you know the most important thing? God has given you the gift of life. So every other thing, you can still get it. Are you seeing this? The car, you can still get it. The houses, you can still get them. The whatever else you think of, as long as there is life, there is hope. So relax. You know, we human beings, we have one weakness. If somebody does 99 good things for us and the person does one bad thing, our mind automatically, like GPS, it will bypass all the 99 good things and focus, boom, zoom, on only that one bad thing. You see, we are quick to focus on the wrong. We are so quick to find fault. We are so quick to focus on what God has not done yet. What of the ones he has done? What of the 99 good things that was done? Why don't you force your mind? Just advise your neighbor, refocus. And you know the principle of magnifying glass? It works with focus. Whatever you focus on is magnified. Whatever you focus on is multiplied. So if Satan can convince you to focus on what God have not done, focus on all the wrong thing, the problem, it will look magnified. It will look bigger than it seems. And then the thing will now be multiplied. But why don't you focus on God's goodness? Think of the things he has done for you. Think of how he delivered you from accident. He said, the car got spoiled. What is car compared to your life? Which one will you have preferred? If it was your life that was damaged like the car, and the car was left clean, nothing spoiled, will you have preferred that one? Am I communicating? Some of you, God delivered you from accident. You see, God can deliver, he can rescue. Two things. He can deliver, he can rescue. Let me explain. There are times that God doesn't even allow you go through that negativity at all. He delivers you, the accident never happened. Then there are times that the accident will happen, but God will preserve your life. That's rescue. God did not stop Daniel from being thrown into the lion's den. He didn't deliver him from being thrown into the lion's den, but God was with him inside the den. And he sent an angel, he covered the mouth of the lions. He was rescued. Am I communicating? So, anyone you find yourself, give him thanks. He delivered you from accident, give him thanks. You've never had accident in your life, give him thanks. You had accident, but your life was preserved, give him thanks. Are you getting me? I heard the story of a man that was dancing after he was robbed along Lagos Ibadan Expressway. His jeep, he was accosted by robbers. They robbed him, carted away his jeep and his phone and his money and valuables, everything inside the car, and the man started dancing. In the midst of Lagos Ibadan Expressway, was dancing and praising God. When police came, they said, are you not the one that was robbed, or are you the robber? Because they were confused. How can somebody be dancing like this? Are you mad? Is he schizophrenic? Is it a bephrenic schizophrenia? You know, the man said, no. He said, I'm the one that was robbed. I was the victim of the armed robbery. They looked at each other. He said, they tap about this guy. He heard correct. So, somebody go this. Then the man said, you people won't understand. He said, let me explain. He said, I am thanking God that it was my car they took, not my life. Number one. Number two, I'm thanking God that I even have something that armed robbers can steal. You know, is there everybody armed robbers rob? Number three, I tell you, in everything, give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We'll come back here. Listen, then the man said, number three, I am thanking God because I am important. Why? Because I even have something people can steal. That means I am important. I'm not a nonentity. Then number four, he said, I am thanking God because the same God that gave me the wisdom and the favor and the life to get the car and the money, that God is still alive. And my life is still here. I can get them back and much more. If he was dead, if they had shot him, that would have been the end, right? But he's still alive. See, listen, it doesn't matter what you lost. If you did not lose your life, tell your neighbor, nothing spoil. You can get everything back. God can restore. God can, you know, he doesn't matter. Listen. When you lose anything, don't lose yourself in the process. Am I communicating? As long as you have not lost yourself, you have not lost your thanksgiving, you have not lost your life, there is nothing too lost that you cannot recover. God is a God of restoration. God is a God of divine recovery. Am I communicating? Let me give you some things I wrote down specifically. Write this down. Are you ready? The highest form of prayer is praise. The highest form of prayer is praise. The highest form of asking is thanking. The highest form of asking is thanking. The highest level of supplication is appreciation. The highest level of supplication is appreciation. Then write this down. Appreciation is the secret of acceleration in life. So appreciation is an accelerator. If you want your life to be on speed, you want to experience divine acceleration, learn the secret of appreciation. Next, appreciation is application for more. I say appreciation is application for more. When you thank God for what He has done, you have applied for more. Am I communicating? And He's going to do more for you. Thanksgiving is a key to multiplication and increase. Listen, anything plus thanksgiving equals more than enough. Anything. Did you hear what I said? Even if your account balance is 6 naira 35 kobo, just add thanksgiving to it from a grateful heart. It is equal to what? More than enough. Why? Because thanksgiving is a multiplier, supernatural multiplication. It brings about supernatural increase, supernatural multiplication. Why? Because thanksgiving is a prime activator of the blessing. When you give God thanks, you activate the blessing, and the blessing will bring about supernatural increase, supernatural multiplication, supernatural growth. Am I communicating? Anything you thank God for cannot finish. I say anything you genuinely thank God for can never finish. It will be multiplied supernaturally. You remember the miracle of Jesus feeding that multitude in the wilderness? Eh? It began with what? A young lad that had 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. Am I communicating? And then, Philip or Andrew? Andrew asked, he said, "What is this among so many?" You see, that is usually our attitude. He said, "I need 50 million for this contract and 5K in my account. Waiting be 5K among 50 million. It was a similar situation. Why don't you thank God for this one? Thank God for what you have right now. And the anointing for increase, the blessing of the Lord will come upon you, and it will multiply it. Am I communicating? Appreciate Him for what you have. Stop focusing on what you lack. Stop focusing on what you have lost. Am I communicating? And then He will multiply it. Jesus knew what He will do. He took it. And what was the wisdom of God to handle that situation of scarcity and shortage? What was the wisdom of God? Thanksgiving. The Bible says Jesus gave thanks. John chapter 6. And when He did, it multiplied supernaturally and fed the entire multitude, more than 20,000 people. You know, we say this, King James said 5,000 men, minus women and children. When you add women and children, that crowd was up to 20,000. And then guess what? After they did round 1, round 2, round 3, some people even did up more than round 3. They gathered how many left over? 12 baskets. Look at it. From not enough to more than enough. What was the secret? What came in between? What was added to the equation? Somebody say thanksgiving. Appreciate God. Glory to God. I say glory to God. I say glory to God. Praise must... Okay, let me put it this way. Thanksgiving and praise must begin and end every prayer session. Every prayer must start and end with thanksgiving and praise. Look at the model Jesus gave us in Matthew 6:9. It says, Matthew 6:9, "After this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." This is a prayer of praise and thanksgiving. So you start every prayer with a prayer of praise and thanksgiving. Let's see how you will end. Philippians 4 verse 6. Philippians 4 verse 6. So we say praise and thanksgiving must commence and end. The commencement and conclusion of every prayer of petition or prayer of intercession or any other form of prayer, the commencement and conclusion must be with what? Praise and thanksgiving. He said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and what? Supplication with..." Your prayer is incomplete. Your supplication is incomplete if thanksgiving is missing. Am I communicating? You know those days that they used to post letter, in post office? How many of you remember? Thank God for technology today. Are they still doing it? Technology, I've got. You remember those days? Now, if you want to send a letter to somebody, maybe in Kaduna or maybe somewhere in the US, and you wrote the letter, you package the put it in the envelope, but you forgot to put stamp. You forgot to buy stamp, and you went and put it in the post office. Will they carry that letter? Why? No stamp. Guess what? Your prayer is like the package in the envelope. Thanksgiving is a stamp. Without that stamp, it will not go through. So you must commence and conclude every prayer with thanksgiving. You see it again in 1 Timothy 2 verse 1. It says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercession, and what? Giving of thanks. So it must conclude every prayer session. It must begin it. It must be there at the commencement. It must be there at the conclusion. You must consciously and intentionally rear up an altar of thanksgiving and gratitude to God. Hebrews 13 verse 10. You must consciously and intentionally rear up an altar of what? Thanksgiving and what? Gratitude to God. He said, we have an altar. Then jump to verse 15. We have an altar. Verse 15. You will realize is the altar of thanksgiving and praise. He said, by him therefore, let us offer what? You offer sacrifice on the altar. Which type of sacrifice should you offer on that altar that we were told we have in verse 10? It is the sacrifice of your praise, your thanksgiving to God continually, not occasionally. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Am I communicating? Thanksgiving should not be an occasional act. It should be a lifestyle. And do you know what we call the lifestyle of thanksgiving? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving simply means a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Am I communicating? So I want you to graduate from just giving God thanks occasionally to making it a lifestyle. Glory to God. I say glory to God. The attitude of gratitude is a secret of high altitude. You must make a choice whether to complain and remain stuck in one spot, in the same spot, or to praise God and thank God and be raised to a new level. Because praise unleashes the power of promotion and elevation. Thanksgiving is necessary to preserve the blessings of God in your life. Thanksgiving is necessary to perpetuate the blessings of God. It is necessary to perfect your blessing. You remember the story of the 10 lepers we read in Luke 17? 9 got healed, they got cleansed. But only that one Samaritan that came to return the glory to God, his own, graduated from mere healing toward wholeness. Why? He gave God thanks, and his own blessing of healing was perfected and upgraded to wholeness. So thanksgiving perfects your blessing. When you thank God, God perfects it. Am I communicating? I will round up with this. What are the causes and cure of unthankfulness? Why are people not thankful to God? Why are people ungrateful? What are the causes and cure of unthankfulness or ingratitude? Give me 2 Timothy 3:1. You see, we were told in scripture that unthankfulness or ingratitude is going to be one of the plagues that will bedevil humanity in these last days. Watch this. He said, this know also that in these last days or this end time, perilous times shall come. And we are in that period. Watch this. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. My emphasis is on unthankful. So, We were told in scripture that unthankfulness is one of the plagues bedeviling humanity in the last days. May you never be a victim of that. So, what are the causes of this unthankfulness? Why are people not thankful to God? Number one, write it down. Forgetfulness. They forget. Forgetfulness. Forgetfulness. Give me Psalm 103 verse 1 and 2. Psalm 103. People become unthankful and ungrateful to God when they forget. They forget the marvelous works of God. They forget the acts of God's goodness. God's goodness, God's grace, God's faithfulness, acts of His marvelous kindness, His mercy done to them in the past. Am I communicating? Not being mindful of the acts of God done to you in the past. This is the number one cause of unthankfulness. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless His holy name. Verse 2. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not. Forget not all His benefit. When you forget His benefit, you become unthankful. You become ungrateful. Am I communicating? Tell your neighbor, I refuse to forget. The goodness of God, I refuse to forget. The grace of God, the acts, His marvelous kindness, I refuse to forget. Am I communicating? This is the number one cause of ingratitude. People easily forget. Listen, human beings have this tendency to forget the goodness and kindness of God done to them in the past. Human beings have the tendency, they have this weakness in them, to easily forget all the good things God have done for them in the past, just because they are believing God for something new. They just forget every other thing He has done. Hallelujah. So, listen. You must thoughtfully, consciously, wholeheartedly, and intentionally recall all the acts of God's goodness, God's grace, God's faithfulness, God's mercy to you, and then thank and appreciate Him on purpose for all that He has done, all that He is doing, and all that He will yet do. You must ponder on it. Am I communicating? Count your blessing, name them one by one. Glory to God. Sit down and think with pen and paper. Journal all your testimonies in the past. Everything God, those times God delivered you from accident, you thought you would die. Those times you hear the testimony of our sister here, how God delivered her from a ghastly motor accident. Am I communicating? Bring all those things to memory. Those times you were in need, you didn't know where money will come from. You heard how God delivered our sister Olivia from debt. She said a tumor. It's actually a disease, debt. She called it a tumor. Am I communicating? She didn't know where the school fees will come from. She didn't know how she will come. And then miraculous supply. Don't forget these things. What have God done for you in the past? David was an expert in recalling the goodness of God. He was not unmindful of God's acts of God's mercy and all those testimonies of deliverance. He said, the God that delivered me from the lion and the bear, He will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. Imagine if He had forgotten. Are you listening? Are you listening? Anytime I'm tempted to doubt God, in my mind, I take myself back to memories of God's goodness. All those miracles of His favor, miracles of His mercy, miracles of His kindness. All those things God have done, all those times that it looked as if the world is over, suddenly God showed up for me. Am I communicating? So those times that it looks as if there is no way out, suddenly God makes a way in the wilderness. He causes water. Those miracles, are you getting me? I force my mind to focus on them. And then I tell myself, if He did it before, there's a song like that. If He did it before, He will do it again. Send her right now. Are you getting me? Refuse to forget. It's a weakness in human beings. Refuse to forget. Give me Psalm 78. All his benefits. All his benefits. Psalm 78, verse 11. Verse 11, watch this. He said, they forgot his works. Say, I refuse to forget. And his wonders, talking about the children of Ephraim, the children of Israel, they forgot his works, his wonders that he had shown them. Verse 12. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. Imagine they forgot all those things, the children of Israel. Next verse. He said he divided the sea. He caused them to pass through. How can somebody forget this one? You pass through Red Sea as if you were passing through an aquarium. You were seeing water congeal to the left, water congeal to the right. You were seeing shark, see crocodile. You were even saying, is it John Bosco? See whale. How can people forget such kind of gods? Ayagabalakataya. I'm trying to say it in other tongues. Am I communicating? He said they forgot. You may laugh at the children of Israel, but some of you are like that. Small thing, you are almost prosecuting God. God, if you don't do this, I go backslide. God, all my mates are getting married. If you don't give me husband, I go marry anybody. Even if na Muslim, I go marry anybody. You are even threatening God. God, if you don't do it, I will leave church. Oh boy, before you came, church existed. If you leave, church goes still there. Now you go lose. Am I communicating? When they bond you, when they threaten God. God, if you don't give me this money, I go steal. And if I steal, now your name, my shame go come to your name. Oh boy, you still, now you they go. Say, God, are you still on the throne? You are watching your son suffer like this. God, are you still on that throne? Now you sack him. Now you even elect him into that office. Am I communicating? Glory to God. Quit that yeye habit of grumbling, murmuring, and complaining. Refuse to forget. Look at Deuteronomy 8 verse 10. Deuteronomy, are you getting blessed? Deuteronomy 8 verse 10. Count your blessings and be genuinely grateful for them. Sit down and think. I'm going to give you 1-2 minutes at the end of this sermon. You just write down any act of God's goodness, any past testimony, anything God have done for you, just write them down. Just write them down. Just write them down. Because sometimes, listen, when you say, oh, Father, I thank you for everything, that everything, it doesn't strike the chord. List those things he did for you. Ponder on it. Am I communicating? Do it thoughtfully. You know, some people say, oh, Father, we just thank you. Their mind is like Terminus Market. Oh, Father, we just thank you for everything. Oh, thank you for what you have done. Let your mind be recounting the things he did. One by one, be counting them in your mind. Am I communicating? It makes the thanksgiving more powerful. It makes it more effective. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Deuteronomy 8 verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, by the time God bless you, you become a billionaire. By God's grace, billionaires arising from this assembly. You become CEO, captain of industry. You become a professional. You become great. You become very successful, influential. Glory to God. Tell your neighbor, don't forget God. Don't forget to give him the glory. Don't forget to give him the thanks. He said, when thou art eating and art full, glory to God. Glory to God. Let me read from my Bible. Thank you, Father. Shalabakasaya. Lebrondo sofretekebo shalabatai. So many things to thank God for.
Some of you are complaining about your husband. You are complaining about your husband. Are you aware that what you have is some people's prayer point? You are yabbing your husband. Say, you know, they bring money. You know, they give you money. Eh? There are people that have been praying for husband. They have been praying. They even went to Shiloh. See, let me tell you something. What you have is someone else's prayer point, too. You should thank God. Every day you are complaining. This my boy is very wayward. This child is wayward child. Which can pikin be this? Which can pikin? Which can pikin we know the hear word? Eh? Yeye pikin. Do you know that pikin where they call yeye? Ah! Is somebody's prayer point for years. There are people who have prayed for battling barrenness. There are that God have answered. There are those that are still trusting God. You have children. And you the yap is a yeah pikin. Wayward child. Why don't you thank God for that child? Because I'm telling you, that child is someone else's prayer point. Some are entering native doctor house, all manner of charms, just to get pregnant. Am I communicating? There is something you have. You see, everybody has something to thank God for. Am I communicating? Some of you don't even like yourself. See the way person shot. See the way I shot. I just near ground like this. When God they distribute height, it's as if the team finished before it reached my turn. You don't know that your short height is someone else, is the answer to someone else's prayer point. There are people that they are not attracted to tall people. You say, oh, I just like short ladies. You know, they give the best hug. You better thank God for what you have. Oh. Am I communicating? Say, this is my leg. Yam leg. Hi, God. Oh, which kind of yam leg you give me like this? I go take a husband. Shut up. By the time the right person for you come, now that yam leg, now ain't going to even be the number one attraction. Say, I just like that girl. I like her character. I like the way she loves God. The way she's a good person. And you know what I even love the most about her is those are succulent legs. What you are calling yam leg is what is turning somebody's head. Are you getting my point? He said, when thou art eaten and art full, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Next verse. He said, beware that thou forget not. Tell your neighbor, don't forget God. Forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandment and his judgment and his statute which I commanded this day. Verse 12. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built godly houses and hast dwelt therein. And when thy herds and thy flock multiply, thy silver and gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up. We call it the pride of accomplishment. Listen, the way to cure the pride of accomplishment, by the time you become big, wealthy, billionaire, multimillionaire, by the time you are flying private jet, driving Prado Jeep, you now forget God. That will not be your portion. Amen. By the time people become great, influential, successful, there is this tendency for them to attribute everything to themselves, like Nebuchadnezzar. He says, is this not this Babylon that I have built with my power? We call it the pride of accomplishment. What is the cure? Recognize and acknowledge God as a doer and give him the praise. Thank him for it. It says, don't allow this to happen to you. Then thy heart be lifted up. Thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. 15. He says, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein there is serpent and scorpion and drought? There is no water. He brought water out of the rock, out of the flint. 16. He said, who fed thee? Look at the chronicles of God's goodness, the miracles of his favor, his mercy, his kindness. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy father knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, and do thee good at the latter end. Verse 17. He said, thou say in thy heart, my power. Can you see the pride of accomplishment here? My power and the might of my hand had gotten me this wealth. This was the error Nebuchadnezzar made. He had to study animalcology for 7 years. And then until he learned that the Most High ruled in the affairs of the earth. And God was the one that put him on that throne. He can remove kings. He can install kings. You must acknowledge God. So don't say it's my skill that got me this wealth. Tomorrow they are interviewing you on CNN. Do you understand? They say, hey, please, can you tell us the secret to your success? This is your business empire. You are now a multi-billionaire. Or this is your greatness. You are now the best in your field. You say, okay, the secret, you know, you have to be skillful. And there's nothing wrong with skill. Now, all the things you said, we did not hear God out of it. We didn't hear the grace of God. But we remember those times you came for Festival of Fire, you were shouting, ah! Lord, remember me. Now he has remembered. You see the problem? You see human beings? Forgetfulness. They have forgotten God. He said, don't be a victim of this thing. Next verse. He said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he, not your skill. It is he, not your intelligence. It is he, not your hard work. Am I communicating? It is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Glory to God. Lamentation 3:21. It says, this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. Oh, this I recall. Tell your neighbor, I refuse to forget. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. Next verse. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion they fail not. Next verse. He said, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. So the number one cause of unthankfulness is that tendency to forget, forgetfulness. Number two, entitlement mentality. The second reason why people are ungrateful, unthankful to God is entitlement mentality. Entitlement mentality. Have you ever wondered why Jesus asks, he said, where are the other 9 lepers that God cleansed? He said, none of them has returned to give thanks except this Samaritan. That's the person in terms of the covenant that is least deserving. The one that is least deserving, the Samaritan, was the person that was most grateful. Was the person that was even grateful at all. Am I communicating? All the remaining 9, probably they were Jews. They had this entitlement. If God no heal us, who you go heal? They saw it. It belongs to us. You understand? Entitlement mentality. Entitlement mentality. Do you have family members, brothers, sisters, siblings, or even very close friends that you are no longer motivated to help them because of this entitlement mentality? The last time you help them, they say, I need 100,000. You say, I don't have up to 100. I have 50. They collected the 50. Even thank you no come out of their mouth. Behind your back, they even abuse you. They say, can you imagine? They went and told somebody, can you imagine? I needed 100,000. I asked him for 100,000. He gave me only 50,000. Entitlement mentality. They are usually the one of the most ungrateful set of people.
Are you getting me?
They see what you have as their right to have. Entitlement mentality is that mindset that somebody somewhere is owing you something. They are responsible for providing for you. Now they born you. Are you getting me? Entitlement mentality. Glory to God. Understand this principle. Nobody owes you anything. Nobody owes you anything. Anytime people help you, learn to say thank you. Learn to say thank you. Somebody help you, say thank you. Are you getting me? Appreciate. You see, it's this same attitude. Because people are not grateful to their fellow human beings for the help they have received, for their support. They do the same thing to God. Those nine, one of the problems they had is this entitlement mentality. That was why they did not come back to return the glory to God. May you not be a victim of entitlement mentality. If you help somebody with school fees today, he didn't tell you thank you. Tomorrow, he come with house rent. Will you? are you seeing how that entitlement mentality that sponsors ingratitude has closed doors to so many people? Even their destiny helpers have become weary of helping them because of their attitude, ingratitude. Wife asked husband for Christmas money. Husband gave what he has. Say, what I have is 10,000. Say, wait till be 10,000. You don't know how much other women they give their wife. Other men, sorry. You don't know how much. See our neighbor. Go ask Baba this thing. Tell your neighbor, be grateful for what you have. That takes me to the next point, why people are ungrateful. Comparison and competition. Comparison and competitive spirit. Listen, oh. Comparing. Listen, everything you have is enough until you compare. Whatever God gives you, you are happy and you are joyful until you start comparing. It's a thief. Comparison is a thief. It will steal your happiness. It will steal your joy. It will steal your gratitude. Check people that are always comparing their life with other people. They are never grateful for anything. It doesn't matter what God blesses them with. They can never be grateful. Why? Because they are always comparing. They are always comparing. They are always comparing. Buy them iPhone 8. They will say, my friend is using iPhone 13. Wait till be iPhone 8. See, comparing your life with anybody will never make you happy. If you will never appreciate God for anything. Listen. Kill that thing. Kill competitive spirit. One of the most unhappy set of people are people that are always competing with others. Always competing. Always competing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12, it says, they that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. May you be delivered from the foolishness of comparison. The Bible says they are not wise. If they are not wise, who are they? They are fools. For we dare not make ourselves of the number. There are pastors that are always comparing their church with other churches. Am I communicating? A man of God once said he ran away from another man of God because of this comparison. He will come to their church. Oh, your church has 5 pillars. My own have 12. Your church, how many was the congregation size? 300. Say, my own last Sunday were like 850. Always comparing. That man of God said when he realized this person is like this, he cut off from him. He faced his work. Then several years later, the man came to visit him. So when the man saw what God had done, even to praise God, It's as if they were flogging him with cane where he was sitting. He was just unhappy. He was looking visibly sad. He could not compare again, because it was too glaring that God have exceeded the expectation of that man. Am I communicating? Some of you have friends that are very jealous. Always compare. You buy new clothes, they are sad. They are not happy. The year of your success. Let me tell you something. Any friend that is not genuinely happy for you when you are winning, when you are successful or you achieve anything, any friend that is not genuinely happy for you is a dangerous friend. That friend can kill you tomorrow. He cannot kill you in Jesus' name. Am I communicating? You should be happy for people when they are succeeding. The thing never finish now. The sky is too wide for more than one bird to fly without clashing in the air. Are you getting my point? Kill this competitive spirit. Kill it. Say, all my friends have married. When shall be my turn? Everybody has married and left me. Is your name everybody? Everybody have their life. God's plan and purpose for your life is unique. Stop comparing your life with other people's lives. Say, all my mates are driving cars. Some of them are in prison. Listen, the problem with comparison is that anytime you compare, there will always appear someone doing better than you. Then there will always appear someone you seem to be doing better than. That's the problem with comparison. So why don't you face your life? Understand God's unique plan for your life and run your unique race and focus on your destiny. Life is not a competition. Every man should run the race that is set before him. You see, in Olympic, there is first, second, and third after race, right? But do you know in the race of destiny, there is no first, second, and third? Because we are not running the same race. Everybody is running their race. So everybody can be first. Everybody can be last. Are you getting my point? The race is unique. Tell your neighbor, the race is unique. Focus on your race. Focus on God's plan and purpose for your life. Follow your unique pathway. Stop comparing married people. Listen. Stop comparing your marriage to another person's marriage. No two marriages are ever the same. Understand the uniqueness of your marriage. Stop comparing your husband with other men to make him appear less. Stop comparing your wife to other women to make her appear less. Are you getting? No, listen. No woman is better than your wife. No man is better than your husband. You are a fool if you think other men are better than your husband. You are also a fool if you think other women are better than your wife. Whatever God gives you is the best. Appreciate Him for Him, for it, for your spouse. Appreciate God for your children. Say, this one, pastor, you look in head. It's like coconut head, self. They carry last. Thank God for him. That coconut head can become the next Albert Einstein. Hope you know. Go and study the history of Albert Einstein. He was slow of learning. He was slow of learning when he was young. He was always carrying last in class. But look at who he later became. Praise God. Then, another reason people are ungrateful is self-centeredness. Let me put it like that. Self-centeredness. When people are selfish and greedy. Selfishness and greed. Covetousness. When people are self-centered. Luke 12, 15 to 21. Jesus gave the story of that man. He started by saying, take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Next verse, it says, he spake a parable unto them. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Next verse, it says, he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. Next verse, he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns, build greater barns, there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. Did you notice in his plan, it was just I, me, and myself? He was thinking of only himself.
He was not thinking of God. He was not thinking of God's kingdom. He was not thinking of blessing humanity. He was not thinking of any other person. It's just himself. Self-centeredness. Covetous man. He said, this will I do. I'll pull down. Next verse, 19. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall be those things which thou hast provided? Next verse. So is he that laid up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Selfishness, self-centeredness, covetousness, greed is another reason people are unthankful to God. This man was thinking of only himself. It was God that helped him to become rich, but he was not thinking of God. He was not thinking of helping any woman, being a blessing to anybody. It was just I, me, and myself. Am I communicating? Then the last reason why I'll give for today, the last reason why people are unthankful is when they focus on what God has not done instead of what he has done. I've said that earlier. Focusing on what God has not done instead of what he has done. What you focus on is magnified and multiplied. You've got to shift your focus and attention from what is not working to what is working. Look up. I say shift your focus and attention from what appears not to be working to what is working. From what God appeared not to have done to what God has already done. Are you getting me? Focus attention on the goodness of God, the grace of God, the faithfulness of God. Think of what he has done for you in the past. This is very important. When you focus on what God has done, it will work out. See, when you focus on what is working, God will work out the rest. But the problem is that we focus on what is not working. We lose sight of what is working. Am I communicating? When you focus and thank God for what is working, it will work out the rest. Should I say it again? When you focus and thank God for what is working, are your eyes working? Are your legs working? Is your heart working? Are your kidneys working? Are your lungs working? Are your hands, the one you are using to write, is it working? When you focus and thank him for what is working in your life, in your business, in your health, in your career, in your job, in your marriage, it will work out the rest. I say it will work out the rest. Don't focus on what you lack. Focus on what you have. Don't focus on what you have lost. Focus on what you have left and be grateful for it. Be grateful for it. Don't be like the man that in the parable of the talent, the one that was given one talent. Do you know one of the problem of that man? He was comparing himself with other people. He said, you gave this one 5 talents. You gave this one 2. Now me, you look me finished. Give me 1. Is it comparison? Bible says God gave to every man severally according to their ability. So the one he gave 1, he knew that the grace is to handle 1. So the master was not partial. Am I communicating? But ingratitude and unthankfulness robbed that guy of giving God thanks. Don't be a victim of it. Shali go barakatai. How do you give God thanks? Number 1, with your words. Words of appreciation, words of gratitude, words of praise, your testimonies, you testify of his goodness. How do you give God thanks? Number 2, with your actions. Your actions like clapping, singing, shouting, dancing, jumping, kneeling, prostrating, rolling on the ground, lifting up chairs, lifting up your holy hands, your actions of gratitude and praise. Am I communicating?
Number three, how do you give God thanks? By giving God thank offering. Somebody say thank offering. Thank you offering or thanksgiving offering. Okay? Give me Psalm 116 verse 17. Today, we are going to take a special thanksgiving offering to really appreciate God. This is apart from our Sunday worship offering. To appreciate Him for His goodness. I will offer today the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Psalm 96 verse 8. It says, give unto the Lord glory due to His name. Bring an offering. Which offering? Offering of thanksgiving. Am I communicating? And come into His court. Then give me Psalm 107 verse 22. So you give God thanks with your words, you give God thanks with your actions, you give God thanks by giving Him a thank offering, okay? Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, declare His work with rejoicing. Psalm 56 verse 12. Give me this in Amplified, then NIV, Amplified version. It says, your vows are upon me, O God. I will render praise to you and give you what? Thank offerings. Thank offerings. NIV, I am under vows to you, O God. I will present my thank offerings to you. Can you rise to your feet? Can you rise to your feet? Who is truly grateful to God? You have to make up your mind that you will not allow these enemies of thanksgiving. Not being mindful, forgetting the acts of God, entitlement mentality. These are enemies of thanksgiving. Comparison and competitive jealousy, self-centeredness, selfishness, greed, covetousness, and focusing on what God has not done, what is not working, instead of what God has done and what is working. Say with me, I will not allow all these things to stop me from thanking God. Psalm 124 verse 1. It says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Give me a New King James version. New King James. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. Verse 2. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us. Some of you don't know the native doctor and the shrine they took your name and your picture to, but God delivered you. You didn't even know these things. Listen, there are many things that God have done for you that you are not even aware of. That you did not even know. Next verse. Then they will have swallowed us up alive when their wrath was kindled against us. Next verse. Left for human beings, they will have swallowed you up. It said, then the waters will have overwhelmed us. Waters of troubles, difficulties, those challenges you went through. It said, the stream will have gone over our soul. Next verse. Then the swollen waters will have gone over our soul. Next verse. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. Can you shout amen? Amen. Next verse. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Next verse, verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. God has been so, so good to us this year. As individual, as a family, and as a ministry. This year was the year that AGMI, we completed our registration with Corporate Affairs Commission. We are fully registered now under the name Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. And even the registration, we saw the favor of God. The lawyer that did the registration is one of our partners in Lagos. She did not charge us anything for the work. The only thing we pay was stipends for other things. Am I communicating? Everything, you see, it was this year that
we commence our gospel outreach to the city of Jos, Plateau State, Environ, and all across the world. What we call the avalanche of good news broadcasts. And it's not just that we are on air. Look at the impact. Look at the waves. Look at the testimonies. Am I communicating? Two stations, not one. Am I communicating? By next year, we'll make it three. And we'll go on even TV, not just radio. It's this year that we did our very first open-air citywide crusade, Glory Incense Concert and Crusade. And for those 2 days, we saw thousands that were gathered. Look at the healings, the miracles. Look at the impact. You know, I keep receiving calls from within and outside of Jos to testify of the impact of GICC. In fact, the pastor I went to minister for in Zaria, he said he followed it online live. He said he was thoroughly blessed that he followed GICC live. Am I communicating? All these things happened this year. Millions flowed through AGMI this year. Miracles of supernatural supplies. Miracles of God's favor. Miracles of God's kindness. God increased our impact and influence this year. Am I communicating? What a faithful God. So many things.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sazon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.